This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and it is freezing in New England. We have a lot to cover today. When I originally sat down at my desk and was going through the stories, I planned on leading with Joe Biden headed to Georgia. He's going to Atlanta to discuss voting rights. I should use parentheses here, quotation marks, I'm sorry, because I've been looking into what all of these voting acts are really doing, and it's not as simple as Joe Biden's speeches would have you believe. But the funniest part about it is he's going to Georgia to stump for all of these voting rights, and none of the voting rights activists are going to greet him there. He's not getting a warm welcome. He doesn't really get a warm welcome anywhere nowadays. Do you notice that? I don't really think that wherever he goes that people are excited to see him. I think some people are excited if they have their Let's Go Brandon gear on, which, by the way, you can get at gracecurlyshow.com, click store. But I don't think
Let's Go Brandon!
I don't think any of his fan base is that excited to see him. So he's going there, and none of the voting rights activists are showing up, including Stacey Abrams. I'm sorry. How rude of me. We should always address people with their proper titles here. Governor Stacey Abrams will not be meeting Joe Biden. Now, as a lot of people have been pointing out on social media, the level of toxic that the party has to think the president is for someone like Stacey Abrams, her signature legislation, her whole motto, her whole shtick is about voting rights. And he's coming to Georgia. And she has a prior engagement. Now, maybe she does have a prior engagement, but if history is any guide here, when the president comes to your state, you know, if you're a Democrat in Georgia, you'd adjust your plans, you know, you'd make new plans for good old Joe. So I do think this tells us something. This really does tell us about the state of the Biden-Harris administration. And speaking of, Harris is joining him. She'll be there as well. This is something that she's been in charge of, which kind of makes sense now why it's gone nowhere for the Democrats. I mean, she's in charge of the border. She's in charge of voting rights. And she's in charge of going to bakeries with Cory Booker and trying vegan cupcakes. The last one she's been nailing lately. But the first two, kind of a rough start. Now, she's going to go with him. And we've already gotten little sneak peeks of his speech. A lot of question marks in his speech. This is a speech where he's asking a lot of questions to the crowd. So we look forward to that. I'm sure we'll have sound from it.
But get ready, pal.
But no one is joining him. And actually, there's a lot of very damning quotes from some of these voting rights activists saying that they aren't going to show up for this because they think it's a photo op. How dare they? How dare they accuse Joe Ice Cream Biden, Joe Aviators in Your Face Biden, Jill's husband, Dr. B's husband, Joe Biden, of a photo op? I am shocked and dismayed at the skepticism from his fellow Democrats. He is there because this is something he truly cares about. He's not just trying to pivot now because the COVID numbers are so bad and the CDC has become a punchline, as Brian Stelter told us. No, he is going to Georgia because Joe Biden is decent and compassionate and he cares. And this is something that he holds near and dear to his old heart. But I will read you those quotes because it is very, very concerning for Joe that so many people are saying, we're not going to stand behind you in a photo op so you can make yourself look better when you have no plans on actually passing any of this legislation. And the reason he does it is because he doesn't have the votes, unless, which brings us to another topic that I can't wait to discuss, unless the Democrats abolish the filibuster. And it's not looking like that's going to happen, because despite the fact that they are, you know, jam-packed with hypocrites like Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden and all these people now who do support this measure, some key people don't, i.e. Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin. And I never thought I'd say this, but thank the Lord for those two. They are, you know, there's all this talk about saving us. You know, we're on the edge. Democracy's hanging on by a thread. I think democracy's hanging on by a thread that's being held by Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema. And we will get to all of that. But what I want to start with, what I want to lead with, is this sound from the Senate Health Committee testimony from Dr. Fauci and Rochelle Walensky. They're testifying about COVID, about testing, about all sorts of things. But what really took the attention of Twitter and social media was the exchange between Rand Paul, Dr. Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, or as we like to call him, Tony. And when I tell you that Rand Paul was on a roll, and I should preface this by saying, I'm not a huge fan of the grandstanding by Republicans. I find it to, just because we've been disappointed so much, like some of these guys talk such a good game. You know, Ted Cruz, they're such eloquent speakers, and then nothing comes from it. But once in a while, you make an exception, because once in a while, something needs to be brought to the stage and someone needs to be torn apart on the verbally in public. And Rand Paul's the perfect guy to do it because he's gone back and forth with Fauci several times. He knows all of this information like the back of his hand, and he's a doctor. So it's doctor versus doctor. And he did a beautiful job of breaking down Fauci. And Fauci was shaking a little bit. He had the paper in his hand. He was shaking. He's very thin skinned. That's why him and Biden get along so well. They've got jaws that are 100% made of glass, made in China and made of glass. And so they're going back and forth, and we're just going to play through some of these. I'm going to keep the lines open for this hour. I think this is going to get people riled up. Let's start with Dr. Rand Paul. This is Cut 9.
Dr. Fauci, the idea that a government official like yourself would claim unilaterally to represent science, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself, is quite dangerous. Central planning, whether it be of the economy or of science, is risky because of the fallibility of the planner. It would not be so catastrophic if the planner were simply one physician in Peoria, then the mistakes would only affect that physician's patients, the people who chose that physician. But when the planner is a government official like yourself who rules by mandate, the errors are compounded and become much more harmful.
Does anyone disagree with that? The planner in this case is an evil, bossy guy who's wrong all the time. And yet he's making all of the decisions. He's making all of the plans, and no one voted for him. No one voted him planner in chief last time I checked. Let's play the next one, Matt.
A planner who believes he is the science leads to an arrogance that justifies, in his mind, using government resources to smear and to destroy the reputations of other scientists who disagree with him.
Can we pause
in
there
an
for
email
a
exchange with Dr. Collins?
I want to point something out. When he says the danger in a doctor declaring himself the science, this is not, you know, rhetoric. This is not just something that Rand Paul thinks is happening in Dr. Fauci's mind. Dr. Fauci has said multiple times that insulting him is insulting the science and vice versa. So this is not something that Rand Paul is assuming Fauci thinks, you know, when he lays his head down on his pillow. This is something that Dr. Fauci has proudly told us on a variety of different morning shows, news programs, podcasts. He's very proud of this, that he is the science. Let's keep going.
You disagree with him. In an email exchange with Dr. Collins, you conspire, and I quote here directly from the email, to create a quick and devastating published takedown of three prominent epidemiologists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Apparently, there's a lot of fringe epidemiologists at Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. And you quote in the email that they were from Dr. Collins, and you agree that they are fringe. And immediately, there's this takedown effort. A published takedown, though, you know, doesn't exactly conjure up the image of a dispassionate scientist. Instead of engaging them on the merits, you and Dr. Collins sought to smear them as fringe and take them down. And not in journals, in lay press. This is not only antithetical to the scientific method, it's the epitome of cheap politics, and it's reprehensible, Dr. Fauci. Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
Yeah, and this is not just something that was reserved for those three doctors or those three scientists. This was something that Dr. Fauci and the mainstream media in general did for the last 2 years. There are so many doctors who were destroyed if they had the audacity to speak out against the science. And Rand Paul is right. What should have happened is you should have taken all of the opinions, because look what happened when they listened to Dr. Scott Atlas. Do you realize that everything Dr. Scott Atlas said, and that guy was run out of town, was correct? Now picture his reaction when he turns on CNN and suddenly Jake Tapper with his serious furrowed brow is saying, well, a lot of the people in the hospitals, they have COVID, but they're not in there because of COVID. He's got to be sitting there going, I've been saying this for 2 years and you people ridiculed me. And you listen to your god, Dr. Fauci, who's sending emails to Dr. Francis Collins about smearing scientists who dare disagree with him. It is infuriating. All right, let's play the next one, and then we'll go to break, Matt.
The email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me. If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it. We got something in Wired magazine.
No. I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Did you ever object to Dr. Collins' characterization of them as fringe? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're not fringe. They're esteemed scientists. And it would be beneath me
I did not do that.
You responded to him that you would do it. And you immediately got an article in Wired and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific
publications.
That's not
what went on. You go again. You just do the same thing every hearing.
That was your response. And this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take down people.
You're absolutely incorrect. As usual, Senator, you are incorrect. Almost everything you said.
Well, no, you deny. You deny. Right. But the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
Now, I'm confused because Fauci has these go-to lines like, there you go again, you're wrong, you're distorting everything I said. Well, what is he distorting? They're emails. Oh, are we missing context, Fauci? Please fill us in on the context. This man is such a fraud. And we have more of the sound, 844-500-4242. It's been a while since I've had a Fauci rant, and I'm ready for it. I'll take your calls when we return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Ooh, some new bumpers. I like this. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Very busy day as far as sound cuts go. I actually have another great little back and forth between Ted Cruz. He's asking some questions about the FBI's involvement in January 6th. And you're not going to be surprised the answer he's getting. It's a lot of, Well, you can understand, sir, that we wouldn't want to jeopardize the investigation. Howie's going to love this sound. But I do want to get back to Rand Paul versus Dr. Fauci, an epic takedown. But before we get to that, let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Matt is on the board. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far? Oh, I don't think your mic's on.
Do you think Stacey Abrams had a prior engagement today?
Okay, so for people who don't know this, Stacey Abrams is not going to be joining Joe Biden. He's going to Georgia to stump for voting rights. And a lot of people aren't buying that his heart, they don't think his heart is in it. They think he's just using this as a photo op, which, like I said before, I've never known Joe Biden to be that shallow. Wink, wink. So Stacey Abrams said she had a prior engagement, which is crazy because normally if the president is coming to your state, you move around your plans a little bit. I know if Trump came to Massachusetts and said, Grace, can you come to this event? You know, we're going to talk about, you know, building a wall or whatever it might be. I probably would move around my dinner plans to meet him. So I'm going to say no, I don't believe Stacey Abrams has a prior engagement. I think her only engagement is avoiding being seen with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yeah, overwhelmingly, 94% say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Governor Stacey Abrams has a lot on her plate, but I don't think that she had to necessarily avoid them like this. I think this is an optical move, and I don't really blame her, to be honest. Nationally, they're a disaster, and she probably wants to position herself to be credible with people in Georgia, and I don't think standing on a stage with Joe Biden is going to do it. Now, I do want to get back to this Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci sound. Let's go to our next cut here, which I believe is cut 12, Matt. All right, let's go.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Five of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature where they were describing, oh, there's no way this could
that
have come from the lab?
That was not me. What
did
I
you
did,
talk with any of those
see,
scientists
but
privately?
You keep distorting you? The truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately
yes.
who wrote the opinion? You did.
Well,
what were they telling you privately?
I love how he says it's stunning. He's getting really mad. And at one point, he actually holds up a picture he printed out from Rand Paul's, I think it was from Rand Paul's website that said Fire Fauci, as if that's supposed to, you know, show everyone that Dr. Rand Paul cannot be trusted. When really what Rand Paul is saying is echoing the sentiment of half the country and probably more at this point, because I think even liberals are cooling off on Anthony Fauci. We'll take your calls. I see you on the lines. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
It makes sense that Rand Paul is able to really hold Dr. Fauci's feet to the fire when we have so much information. I mean, we've had several smoking guns showing us that Dr. Fauci is not what the mainstream media would like us to believe he is. And the most recent was the documents that came from a report at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, otherwise known as DARPA, which were allegedly hidden in a top-secret shared drive. I'm reading from the Post Millennial, but this story broke from Project Veritas. They obtained a report which stated the EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA in March of 2018 looking to obtain funding for Project Diffuse to conduct gain-of-function research of coronaviruses from bats. The proposal was rejected by DARPA because it violated a gain-of-function research moratorium. NIAID, under the direction of a Dr. Anthony Fauci, proceeded with the research at the Wuhan Virology Lab in China and at several sites other sites across the U.S. The report goes on to detail concern regarding the COVID-19 gain-of-function program, the concealment of documents, and the suppression of potential curatives like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. This is all very interesting information, and Dr. Fauci does not want us to know any of it based off what he's saying. All he can say back to Rand Paul is, you know, this is a gross distortion of what I said. What part? Let's get specific. I have a feeling Rand Paul could handle specifics. He's got his notepad out. Give us some citations. I feel like Howie Carr in hate mail. Could I have a citation, please, sir? What are we saying that is not true? Could we get a fact check? I'm open to fact checks. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Grace, fast takes twice in 1 week. You're on a roll.
I know.
Now, talk about being in somebody's head. You're in somebody's head. You're on their mind.
Thank you, John. For those of you who don't know what John's referring to, I was in Fast Takes today in the New York Post, and I was in it 2 days ago. Very exciting. Thank you, John, for the nice comments. Not going to let it go to my head, but it does feel good to be mentioned in the New York Post because everybody reads it, which is great. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Great show, as usual. The thing that drives me insane is, and it's taken the left mainstream media this long to figure it out. And what I don't know what is it making them change their mind about him, but it's almost like the last gasp, because once they let him go or give him up, their whole program here falls apart, because they've been hanging on to him for thin ice. Like, they're just hanging on to him until now his whole case is collapsing. Everybody knows it, and everybody's turning on him. So I blame the media for all of this, because they can make or break you.
Yeah, no, you know what, Peggy? That's a great point. And actually, we are going to be interviewing Stephen Miller at 105. Not Stephen Miller from the Trump administration, Stephen Miller from The Spectator, but he's huge on Twitter. And he has a piece out today in Spectator about exactly what Peggy's talking about, which is the mainstream media knows that the Biden administration cannot shut down the virus, and that was what they promised. And so it's going to look bad in the polls. And so what they're doing now is they're turning on the CDC, which is a lot easier than turning on, you know, golden boy Joe Biden. So they're turning on the CDC, and you've noticed it. You have Brian Stelter saying, oh, doomsday doctors. You have Jake Tapper saying, shouldn't we be separating numbers based off who has COVID and, you know, who's in there because of COVID versus having COVID or whatever, you know, Jake Tapper 2 years later. And you have all of these people now, Oliver Darcy, mostly from CNN, but in general, just a lot of people finally realizing, one, is that it's not a moral failing, according to Chris Cillizza. You know, you can get COVID even if you're a very, very good person / Democrat. But two, that Joe Biden is full of empty promises. So what they're doing, which is exactly what Peggy's saying, is they're changing the narrative. They're having an about face and they're saying, listen, the CDC seems to be becoming a punchline. That's what Brian Stelter was lecturing us on the other day. Now, the specific point of this that I think you're getting at is that Dr. Fauci he's not just the face of science. He's also the face of the CDC. And this is going to be, and I want to read you this last paragraph, Peggy, from Stephen Miller. It says, This journalists and Democrats are experiencing the same draconian light measures that the rest of the country has had to go through for the past year, and they are finding them very inconvenient, both to their own lives and to Joe Biden's approval ratings. This appears to be a warning shot across the bow to the CDC and Walensky, who are primed to take the fall as the Biden administration dramatically shifts its messaging on COVID in the coming weeks. The problem for CNN and Brian Stelter is that this attempt looks politicized, forced, and completely cynical, probably because it is. I think this is a way bigger problem for Dr. Fauci than it is for CNN, because we all know what to get when we turn on CNN, we turn on MSNBC. Donald Trump was absolutely right. They're the enemy of the people. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I don't really like to say things that are over-the-top exaggerations, but I don't think that is one. I think that's a very honest assessment. They are the enemy of the people. And so everyone goes into it knowing that we can't trust CNN, that we can't trust MSNBC. But for Dr. Fauci, he had the most powerful job in the country for 2 years. And look where we are. Look where we're at. And Rand Paul actually said this exact thing. And if I were Dr. Fauci, and this is just my take, I would be very, very nervous right now with all of this paperwork that's coming out, with all of these investigations, and Peggy, don't forget this, with the fact that in 2022, which we're now in, if you can believe it, there might be a red wave. And if the House takes over, if the Republicans take over the House and they start being in charge of these investigatory committees, it's not going to look good for Dr. Fauci, because I have a feeling that Kevin McCarthy might do exactly what the Democrats did and start pulling people off of their committees and might say, you know what, Adam Schiff, I think we'll find someone better. Thank you, though. Have some fun working on your parody career. We've got some bigger fish to fry. And they're going to get to the bottom of it. And Brian Stelter and all these people in the mainstream media, they're going to turn on Dr. Fauci just like they turned on Andrew Cuomo, just like they turned on Michael Avenatti. There's no loyalty among these thieves. That's the number one thing to remember, is that you're only as useful, or you're only as heroic to the Democrats as you are useful. So when you stop being useful, they have no issue tossing you aside, especially if tossing you aside can be their get out of jail free card. You know, we can't be blamed for everything because there's one guy who can take the fall. And you know who he is. His face is on all of our pillows. And his name is Dr. Fauci. Thank you for the call, Peggy. Let's finish off with these cuts here, Matt. Let's go to cut 13, please.
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So you, not only are you distorting it, you are completely turning it around. As
were most
you
of the scientists
do.
That came to you privately, did they come to you privately and say, no way this came from the lab? Or was their initial impression, Dr. Gary and others that were involved, was their initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
Senator, we are here at a committee to look at a virus now that has killed almost 900,000 people. And the purpose of the committee was to try and...
This is really the last refuge of a scoundrel, is when you start saying, hey, can't we all just get along? You know, there's some things that are more important than this. I don't think there are. I know how many people have died. I think it's awful. I'd like to get to the bottom of it. Since when does that make sense, though? Explain that one to me. Oh, so many people have died of this virus, so that's why you shouldn't be asking me questions about where it originated from and why we lied about it and why we covered it up. Someone make that make sense. This is so awful, and it is, and everyone should be mad. And it was okay when everyone was mad at Donald Trump, but it's not okay when everyone's mad at me, Dr. Fauci, because we have bigger things to worry about. Not, you know, how much I knew, when I knew it, why I was sending emails trying to disparage other scientists who were, you know, had conflicting arguments with my theories and hypotheses. That doesn't matter. It's okay if everyone hates Donald Trump and there's blood on his hands, but there can't be blood on my hands. That's where we draw the line. That's where we have to change the subject and get back to the bigger picture. We're missing the forest for the trees, Rand. I can't believe this guy, the narcissism, the hubris of this man. He had no problem telling us what to do for 2 years. And now he's so shocked that Rand Paul is trying to get into the details of what he's been doing for the last 2 years or 10 years or 20 years, 30 years. Been in there for a lifetime. And I just, I can't help but laugh when he starts going, hold on a second. You know, let's remember why we're here. I think we all remember why we're here, sir. Let's play that last cut, Matt. This is cut 14.
Do you think anybody has had more influence over our response to this than you have? Do you think it's a great success? Do you think it's a great success what's happened so far? Do you think the lockdowns are good for our kids? Do you think we slowed down the death rate? More people have died now under President Biden than did under President Trump. You are the one responsible. You are the architect. You are the lead architect for the response from the government. And now 800,000 people have died.
Right.
So you think it's a winning success what you've advocated for government?
Senator, first of all, if you look at everything that I said, you accuse me of in a monolithic way telling people what they need to do. Everything that I've said has been in support of the CDC guidelines. Wear a mask, get boosted.
And you've advocated to make it coercive
and done through force. You've
advocated it to be done by mandate.
Right.
You've advocated that your infallible opinion be dictated by law.
Right.
He's really, Fauci's really trying to change the narrative, you know, and this is something that he operates just like Joe Biden. That's why they're both president, because he goes based off the polls. He goes based off the backlash. He doesn't follow the science. He follows the clapbacks on Twitter. He follows the blue checks and tries to see if they like him or if they're mad at him. And if they're mad at him, he'll change his tune real quick. And it's just something else to really, I agree with that last caller. I think this might be the last gasp of this entire thing. And thank God for Rand Paul. Thank God for Dr. Scott Atlas. Thank God for Scott Hounsell from Red State. Thank God for people who pushed back on this. And, you know, someone should tell Fauci, heavy is the head that wears the crown, my friend. If you want to play pretend, if you want to play pretend president for 2 years, then the buck stops with you. We know it doesn't stop with that other old guy. He's in Georgia fumbling around trying to find a friend. So it stops with you. So let's have some answers. His only answer is, once again, you're distorting what I've said. We have roll the tape, Fauci. We have hours and hours and hours of tape of you talking. So don't worry about that. We have plenty of context that we can play for the American people. 844-500-4242. We will come right back to your calls. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm fired up about this. This gets under my skin that this guy has the audacity to accuse other people of trying to change the subject or not focusing on the right things. That drives me nuts. We'll take your calls when we return, but I got to tell you about something else. Another Biden problem. Biden's inflation is here, and that means your heating bills are already skyrocketing. That's why you need an Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater more than ever. I'm going to hold this up for the camera. This is a really great product. It's small, it's sleek, it's cool, and it's safe. This powerful heater puts out 78% more heating than big box heaters, 7 times its size. I meant cool like it looks cool, but it's warm. It's not cool. When I say powerful, I mean it will heat up to 1,000 square feet. The Mighty Mini weighs only 4 pounds and is great for a home office, dorm room, or bedroom. Because they're not exposed, there's no exposed heating elements, the Mighty Mini heater is safe around pets and children. This is a great product, and everyone in the office is loving it.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be warm, but you don't want to have the risk of, you know, tripping over something. You don't want a big, gigantic thing that looks like a grill or a nuclear missile in the living room to heat up. And what I do with my space heater is, you know, I keep the heat on. I have oil heat. I keep that on just enough to stop the pipes from freezing. In whatever room I'm in, I use the Mighty Mini heater to heat up that specific area. It's less wasteful and it saves money.
And you can move it around really easily, which is another point that Jared's making here, is that it's a light device. So if you want to move it from your bedroom to your living room and back, it's very easy to do.
Portable. It's only 4 pounds.
Fight back against Biden's spiraling inflation saga and order your Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater today at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word GRACE10 and you'll save $10 and get free shipping. One more time, that's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE10. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
All righty, we're talking about Dr. Fauci versus Rand Paul, Senator and Dr. Rand Paul. But we also have more sound in the next hour of Senator Ted Cruz questioning the FBI at the Senate Judiciary hearing today about whether there were FBI informants present on January 6th. He specifically mentions Ray Epps. This is very good sound. We are definitely going to get to it. And then we have Stephen Miller at 105, though. So bear with us. We'll have that great interview, and then we'll play a lot of this when we return. Now, let's get to the callers. Let's go to Sarah. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to share, I enjoy reading biomedical journals, and I have a background in that area. The other day I was researching, just reading, trying to understand the mRNA vaccine, and Fauci's name came up in one of the studies that were cited. And when I investigated further, I do believe it might have been a patent that he had on this. But what it is it has to do with the HIV virus, and the HIV virus has a receptor on its surface called a GP120. It's a glycoprotein 120. So what Fauci did was to take that GP120, and I believe it may be patented under his name, but it was associated with him in connection with him receiving 12 to $14 million. And this GP120, if it's taken, the receptor, it binds to one of the cells called the helper cell in your body, and it's like a scout that will let your immune system know you've been infected with something and alerts the rest. But this GP120 over in Africa, they had people testing positive, I heard, on the HIV test that they would take.
Yeah, Sarah, so hold on. I'm gonna hold you there. I will look into this during the break, and then I'll come back. I just have to look into it because it's a lot of information that I can't confirm or deny. So let me just look into it, and then if it's something that I can talk about on the air, I'll bring it back in the next hour. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hi, Grace. The question, you know, the big thing is Fauci thinks Rand Paul is stupid. This guy, Rand Paul, is a medical doctor. Fauci can hoodwink everybody else that doesn't understand the terminology and blow smoke up everybody, you know what, all the time. But Rand Paul's got his number, and that's why Fauci is so uncomfortable and going into this, like, blanket denial on everything. I mean, that's the only thing you can see at these hearings.
Yeah, I agree, Dominic. I think that's a perfect way to put it, is that Rand Paul has his number. And, you know, you can BS a lot of people when no one's an expert. You know, we're all just the unwashed boat people. We're all deplorables. We're all credulous boomer rubes. We're all just the peasants who are supposed to be told what to do by Lord Fauci. But Rand Paul, it's a great, great point, and it matters. He's a doctor. And I think that as much as I've been watching what's been happening over 2 years in awe of how we're all just supposed to obey this one guy, I think for people like Rand Paul, it's even more surprising that we've allowed this to happen, because it's, like he said, it's antithetical to the medical world. That's not how these things usually work. You don't say, I'm the science, I am medicine, and everyone who disagrees with me is a heathen. That's not usually how these things go. All right, we'll be back. Thank you for all the calls, and I will look into all of that stuff. We'll be back with Stephen Miller from Spectator coming up next to talk about the media's change on the CBC. Don't go anywhere.